When we were talking with colleagues about the best topic for me to present today, the idea came to provide a general overview about history and current trends in legal psychology in Russia. I expect that for many Russian colleagues who live here and work here, many issues are well known, but for us it is really important in this world atmosphere to be on the same page, and we wanted to show the historical stages, also some dramatic periods which probably ended in the last century in some kind of isolation, which we observe in different sciences, especially in humanitarian sciences in Russia in comparison with other countries. So, as I said before, there are two goals for this lecture. First of all, to present a historical overview of major issues, including topics, research work, and famous names of Russian scientists and public activists and other people who played important role in developing psychology and law issues in our country. But what is important for me, as I said before, to provide this overview in parallel with the history of psychology and law in Western countries, mostly in European countries. And also, the second part will be about modern situation, current research trends, current challenges, and educational resources and scientific resources which we have here in Russia, which could be interesting for our colleagues from other countries in terms of combining resources and using this combination, this uniting to achieve our common goals, because their topics are very common for all of us. Let's start with the very beginning, and this is 18th century. Major issues and achievements which we consider important to speak out for Russia were works on classification of criminals, interviewing witnesses and offenders, and the third issue, necessity of legal education as a mean of crime prevention. Speaking about the names and the work, we would like to mention Ivan Pasochkov with his famous book, and the first page of his book you could see on the right side of the slide. This is the book on scarcity and richnessness. Pasochkov wrote a lot about ideas on criminal and civil investigation process, interrogation, eliciting true testimonies, and classification of criminals. Pasochkov was actually an economist, and thinking about multidisciplinary approach, we think it is very important to mention the background which was at the very beginning, and then how people became involved in psychology and war. Pasochkov wrote a lot about the techniques of investigating and testimonies, and actually wrote very specific issues about how to speak, what conditions should be following to get the best information from the witness. Definitely this is psychological work, but he was economist. He was thinking a lot about how to make person not to lie during talk, exactly what we try to do now. The second person which we would like to mention is Vasily Tatishev. He was historian, geography specialist, economist, and public activist. But in his work, Talk of Two Friends about Benefits of Sciences and Schools, he emphasized the necessity of legal education from childhood as a strategy from crime prevention. Also, we would like to mention Ushakov Fyodor, who was a Russian lawyer, but also he was a philosopher with humanistic ideas. And in his manuscript on Law and Goal of Punishment, he actually emphasized psychological aspects of punishment and repentance. Speaking about Europe, remember I said that we will try to present Russia and Europe in parallel. 18th century, definitely we should mention John Howard, a British lawyer, but actually he was a kind of a policeman. But he was very, he had a lot of concerns about prisons, about conditions in which prisoners live in prisons. In some Russian articles, he even mentioned as scientists doing research about prisons. His one of his famous manuscripts is The State of Prisons in England and Wales, and he definitely pointed out the importance to humanize conditions in the prisons. Speaking historically, Howard visited Russia at the end of his life to monitor Russian prisons and army in terms of looking on conditions. And the dramatic story happened. He got sick, very severe in Russia. A Russian famous physician tried to save him, but it was epidemics and he died in Russia. And actually, he is here in Russian land now, taking care of our prisoners and soldiers. The next person, two person from Germany, Karl von Eckartshausen and Schaumann, they were lawyers, researchers in law, who also wrote about the need for psychological aspects, insights in assessing crime. And the Schaumann even wrote a manuscript, Ideas to Criminal Psychology. He used this term. 19th century, the main issues and achievements in Russia which happened at that time were ideas of application psychological knowledge to legal issues, forensic psychology and forensic psychiatry as one united discipline, works on criminal psychology, typology of offenders, motives of crimes, offenders' psychological states while offending, and of course the influence of Russian literature was very strong. I will talk about it a little bit later. Possibilities and character of offenders' reformation. In terms of famous people and names, we should mention Alexander Radishev, who was an incredibly important person in our history, Russian writer, Russian public activist. He wrote works on legislation, types of crimes, criminals, motives, causes of crimes, prevention. Zeltsev, a Russian lawyer, introduced the first course of criminal psychology for law students at the Moscow University. And Galich, Alexander Galich, who was also actually he was his historian, and he was a teacher for Pushkin in our famous poet in the Lycée school in Pushkin. He wrote one of the first works on characters, Picture of a Human. And definitely it was emphasizing the idea that judges should know psychology of criminals, their characters, and in some way be good psychologists in making their judgments and their decisions. In Europe, in 19th century, one of the most famous person was Friedrich, a German lawyer who tried to do a lot on systemizing literature on medical and forensic psychology and building the system of forensic psychology. In the late 19th century, one of the most famous person in Russia was Frisier, who wrote essay on forensic psychology, in which first time in our history he provided definition of forensic psychology as application of our knowledge about normal and abnormal soul life to legal issues. Also, his role was very important in practical way, because he initiated the establishment of correction orphan house for young criminals in Kazan, one of the first such houses in Russia. Also, we have to mention Vladimiron, whose work on psychological peculiarities of criminals according to the newest studies and psychological studies in criminal court provide a lot of significant information on medical psychological investigation. He also humanizing the attitudes toward criminals because he thought it is important to think about criminals as humans with freedom of will, motives, family surrounding, and it is moving towards ecological type of approach rather than anthropological. Also, he wrote about effects, emotional conditions, strong emotional conditions as a factor of situational criminal behavior, and he was soaring as expert psychologist for the courts who were invited to participate in different courts. Late 19th century also remind us the name of the drill, who was particularly interested in criminals, minor criminals, the determination of criminality, and developing the criminal behavior. He criticized Lombroso's ideas on anthropological determination of the crimes and believed that criminals should be rather treated than punished. As I said before, Russian literature played an important role in pushing forward psychology into law and forensic issues, and we should remind Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, Chekhov, whose books are very well known, whose books are playing in all world theaters, and the stories provide us very deep and very significant analysis of the psychological roots for the criminal behavior when we see ambivalent characters of offenders who could be good and bad in one moment, moral and immoral, religious and non-religious. So it is a lot of, there were a lot of ideas about conflicts between interests, moral attitudes, and other psychological phenomena. Definitely in the work of these authors, we could see very detailed description of Russian prisons, that time Russian prisons, prisoners, and really severe conditions in the prisons, which by themselves became as a punishment. Not only losing freedom, but condition became a punishment. Psychology and law in Europe, late 19th century, gave us Cesare Lombroso, very famous Italian psychiatrist, who very strongly supported anthropological approach of crime determination. Basically speaking, that the criminals were born to be criminals. At the same time, we have German criminologist Hans Gross, who is considered the founder of Western criminology and criminal psychology, which he considered as a branch of general psychology. And he was the one who supported experimental work in application to criminal psychology problems. And also he was the one who started first classes for students at law schools. There were a lot of work on psychology of testimonies in Europe in late 19th century, and we could pronounce the names of Albert von Schrenck-Notzing, who actually in his research work was a little bit parapsychological, because he investigated some kind of spiritual effects. But in his practice, he testified as an expert in the courts, and in this way, it was important input. A lot of experiments on psychology of testimonies were conducted by McKean Cattell. He was American, but his work influenced a lot European scientists. Definitely Alfred Binet, William Stern, who pointed out that accurate testimonies are exception, not a rule. All experiments, actually later in Russia, Stern's experiments were repeated, and they also showed that people are very different in remembering the situation of a criminal, of the crime. Hugo Münsterberg, of course, all psychologists know his name, but in this topic we should remember his work on the witness stand, essay on psychology and crime. Of course, Eduard Claparède, Swiss physician, but also psychologist, who is famous from many works on child psychology, but also he is well known as a person who wrote a manuscript psychology on judiciary psychology issues, in which he tried to show the distinguish between criminal and judiciary psychology. Actually, later on, the term judiciary psychology, which is not commonly used in other countries, but in Russia it was adopted and have been using for many years as a general term covering all spheres in the area of psychology and law. We are moving forward to the beginning of the 20th century and Russia, the major issues and achievements were works on development of criminality from psychological point of view, psychology of juvenile offenders, especially after introduction of juvenile courts in 1910. It is interesting that now in Russia there are serious discussions about reintroducting juvenile courts, but probably when people say that these ideas are coming from the Western countries, we should remember that in Russia these courts were introduced many years ago, and there are materials about their operations. Studies of criminal personalities and, of course, psychology of testimonies and witnesses. In terms of names, we should remember Portugalov, Galdovsky, Elistratov, Kunesher, Zavadsky, Kony. All of them were people with a legal background, but in the course of their professional life realized that psychological issues are very important in testimony, in the investigation process, in courts. Kony, a prominent Russian lawyer, criticized Stern's conclusions based on experiments. And there is a phrase from his work which says that experimental conditions differ from those of crime when the usual course of events drastically changes. Well, basically it's true, it's a common critic for all lab experiments in psychology in comparison with the field experiments. But it's not so easy yet to conduct field experiment in criminal behavior. Psychology and law in Russia at the beginning of the century gave us the name of Petrozhitsky, Lev Petrozhitsky, who was also a lawyer, and he wrote a lot in theoretical aspects of law. But speaking about psychology, if you see his work, Theory of Law and State, in connection with Theory of Morality, definitely we hear the psychological grounds. And basically he pointed out that law is derived of people's psychology, people's emotions. His phrase was, we understand the law as ethical experiences with emotions which have attributive character. Definitely we should remember and Bekhterev, our psychiatrist, physiologist, who conducted incredible pieces of research and educational work in different areas of psychology, and who is considered as a founder of objective psychology, the person who introduced the behavior as a psychological phenomenon for the research and correction. His work on experimental psychological study of criminals devoted to the importance of conducting experiments. Bekhterev, together with Drill, initiated organization of research educational psychoneurological institute with a special course of forensic psychology, 1907 in St. Petersburg. Later, in 1909, the Criminological Institute was established as a part of this institute. Since that time, forensic psychology was established in Russia as an independent branch of psychological science. Other studies and developments which happened in the first part of the 20th century associated with a lot of work in criminal psychology, penitentiary psychology, forensic psychology. Important date was 1925 when National Institute for Studies of Criminals and Criminality was established in Moscow. Following this, a lot of research sites, so-called cabinets for criminal psychological studies were opened in Moscow, Leningrad, Kyiv, Odessa, and other cities. Definitely we should remember Alexander Luria, who played an incredibly important role in developing experimental psychology and specifically neuropsychology. He organized a laboratory of experimental psychology under the auspice of General Prosecutor Office and wrote a manuscript, Experimental Psychology in Investigative and Forensic Practice. He was the author of the method of conjugated motor dynamics to evoke symptoms of concealed situation, which was later used for development of polygraph. In 1930, first All-Union Congress of Psychology Studies was organized, and what was important for the topic, today's topic, that the section of forensic psychology was introduced. Two lawyers, Tager and Brusilovsky, played important role from the law part of professionals in pushing forward the, including psychological aspects in criminal procedures and organizing forensic psychological studies. Actually, Brusilovsky thought that pushed forward the decision on necessity to develop three main spheres of forensic psychology: criminal, penitentiary, and procedural. The period since 1935-1960, as I said before, was a period of isolation. One of the documents which we usually remember speaking about experimental psychology in Russia, this is the document, official document on pedagogical perversion in the system of People's Commissariats of Education, which happened after some intelligence tests. Research which were conducted at schools in a bad manner, which produced a lot of wrong data about the level of intelligence of Russian children. Basically, this document stopped all experimental work in different branches of psychology, because if we go back into our history in different areas, we could see that it was political decision to kind of reduce experimental psychology, definitely including forensic and legal psychology. Speaking about the research, because many labs were closed, the majority of the research became very introspective, and still in Russia we could observe this focus on using of introspective methods doing different types of research. So, but that time was over, and since 60s, application of psychological knowledge into the criminal investigation process appeared. We observed beginning of the teaching psychology at law schools, implementation of forensic psychological and psychiatric psychological assessment in criminal law, so-called expertises, complex expertises, beginning of psychological studies in the penitentiary system, forensic and legal psychology became autonomous scientific psychological discipline. In 1964, it was decision made, actually it was almost political decision, because it was supported by the Central Committee to implement forensic psychology as a course for all students at law schools. Speaking about the famous names of the lawyers, actually prosecutors originally, we should remember Ratinov, whose work on forensic psychology for criminal investigators is very famous. In 1971, First National Congress on Forensic Psychology was organized in Russia. Speaking about Ratinov, I should say that he was chief of the Department of Forensic Psychology in the Research Institute of Law and Legal Order Development under auspice of the General Prosecutor's Office. Also, he was chief of the Coordination Bureau on Forensic Psychology in the framework of Academy of Sciences of the USSR. And he played an incredibly important role to introduce forensic psychology as a scientific specialty. In Russia, it means the opportunity to get PhD and doctoral degrees in this specific specialty, legal psychology. Definitely, we should remember today, and tomorrow we'll have a special symposium named on Mikhail Kochinov, who played an important role in developing scientific forensic psychology, and his works, Forensic Psychological Expertise of Juveniles, generally Forensic Psychological Expertise, specific aspects of interviewing minor witnesses are very well known and still considered as a textbooks and one of the best textbooks, but also we should say that he was incredibly great person in many other aspects, because as we see historically, it is really important in this area to be publicly active, trying to change some practices. We should remember Vasilyev, who was also Vladislav Vasilyev, who was also a prosecutor from his background, and his textbooks on legal psychology are very famous and were republished many years for many years. In 90s, at the late of 20th century, we observed intensive development of studies and practice, establishing psychological labs and departments in police, prosecutor's office, investigation committee, developing of psychological services in the penitentiary system also happened in that time. Increase of psychological forensics expertise used in criminal and civil cases in courts. And growth of publications number in different spheres of psychology and law, well, mostly in Russian, but we observed an increase. At the beginning of this century in which we live now, 21st century, we in Russia, we consider these areas as a part of psychology and law. Legal psychology, criminal psychology, investigative psychology, forensic psychology, penitentiary, preventive, juvenile forensic, psychology of professional work and legal practice. People tend to work in these specific areas in their research, but of course, generally they are interconnected. In practice, at the beginning of the 21st century, we observe a great input of special psychologists in legal practice, which results in forensic expertise There are numbers that there are more than 15,000 psychological and psychiatric psychological assessments per year happened for the courts cases. In penitentiary system in Russia now we have more than 2,500 psychologists who work with convicts and the staff. And also psychological departments within law enforcement agencies are in developing. Not easy, but it's going on. In terms of education and research resources, there are several educational centers which provide specific education in legal and forensic psychology, and we should mention Moscow State University, which has specialization, clinical social rehabilitation and penitentiary psychology at the Department of Psychology. South Federal University in Rostov-on-Don, which has at the Department of Psychology the chair of legal and military psychology. Chair of legal psychology at the Department of Psychology at the Academy of Law Management in Ryazan. Faculty of Forensic and Legal Psychology at Moscow State University of Psychology and Education has actually now two chairs on legal psychology and law, and clinical and forensic psychology. Tsiolkovsky State University in Kaluga has a chair on general and forensic psychology. Altogether, the Department of Psychology, we have three specialized professional journals, which are mentioned on this slide. A couple slides about psychology and law in St. Petersburg. I try to abuse the situation that we are here and maybe tell a little bit more. In 1960s, 1970s, we could say the founders of Leningrad, now St. Petersburg Psychological School, Boris Gerasimovich Ananyev, who was a dean of psychology department, Misishev and Yanomorenko played important role in developing theoretical and practical aspects of psychology and law. In 1982, first specialization, judiciary psychology in USSR, was established at the Department of Psychology. In response, it was an official request from the Ministry of Internal Affairs and Police to provide our country, the special psychologists specialized in this topic. It was a 5 years education with equivalent diploma to master. Definitely I should pronounce the name of Professor Liskov, who unfortunately died. He was the founder and the leader of this specialization, and he was the first chair of the division, which now is responsible for forensic psychology in St. Petersburg State University. In 1983, practical course on forensic psychological expertise was introduced for all students at the Department of Psychology despite of their specialization. This course was included in the general part of the educational courses. In 2000, in response to this educational strategy to introduce two levels, education, bachelor and master levels education, the master program on legal psychology was opened. In 2012, specialization on forensic and criminal psychology as a part of 6 years ongoing education, which is called clinical psychology educational program, was established. And also we could say that still we provide courses on judiciary psychology for all students at law school, like basic course. Speaking about legal psychology in modern Russia as a whole, we consider it as a theoretical and methodological ground for applying psychology in different areas of legislation. Traditional issues considered, such as psychological grounds of legislation, psychological aspects of legal ideology, influences of media in the law relevant field, reflection of law, legal practices, legal bodies, violations of law in people's mind, perception and attitudes, people's legally relevant behavior. Well, definitely we experience challenges as psychologists in this field, which are probably common for all psychologists in the world who touch socially sensitive issues. Legal issues definitely could be considered very sensitive because they are connected with the laws and the governmental survival. The most important challenges are conceptualization, forensic and legal psychology as one branch of applied psychology. We need to clarify theoretical grounds, subject and aims, structure and functions. Implementing the ethical code for psychologists in practice related to psychology and law, developing the best standards of practice and certification of professional activities, for example, forensic psychological assessments and expertises, developing the professional, scientific and practical exchange on the national and international level. What actually now we are trying to do to intensify this, professional connections, and we believe that, again, as I said before, that sharing is very important, sharing on professional and humans level, because the issues which we are faced to resolve have all these aspects, psychology, law, and humans life. Thank you very much, and that's it.